When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. Israel Keyes, the Phantom Predator. Unmasking the ultimate serial killer. Welcome, true crime and the unknown fans, to another chilling journey into the shadowed archives of the supernatural, here on Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we delve into a darkness that isn't spectral or ancient, but terrifyingly modern, chillingly methodical, and utterly human. We speak of a monster who haunted not just one town or one highway, but an entire nation. An unseen predator who operated with a terrifying, calculated anonymity. We speak of Israel Keyes. Forget the obvious clues, the discernible patterns, the victimology that often helps investigators piece together a killer's twisted puzzle. Keyes was different. He was the ultimate chameleon, the phantom predator, a man who, for years, pulled the strings of fate for his unsuspecting victims, a true puppet master of death. For those who seek the genuine spine-tingling terror of the truly intelligent and utterly remorseless, this episode is a deep dive into the historical anomalies, the chilling precision, and the unfathomable depths of a mind that seemed to defy all conventional understanding of serial murder. Our narrative begins in the seemingly mundane landscape of Anchorage, Alaska, a place of vast, unforgiving beauty that would also become the hunting ground for one of America's most insidious killers. Israel Keyes was, on the surface, unremarkable. He was a contractor, a former soldier, a seemingly devoted father, and a quiet neighbor. His outward life was a careful veneer, a meticulously constructed mask that concealed a malevolence so profound, so utterly chilling, that it still sends shivers down the spines of seasoned investigators. Keyes was a unique breed of monster, not driven by sexual compulsion or a specific victim type, but by a chilling desire for control, for the thrill of the hunt, and for the methodical execution of his dark fantasies. His method was his madness, a methodology that allowed him to evade capture for well over a decade, leaving a scattering of unresolved disappearances and cold cases across the entire breadth of the United States. What made Keyes truly terrifying was his chilling preparation. He didn't just decide to kill on a whim, he was a planner, a meticulous architect of terror. Years before a murder, he would embark on what investigators dubbed his kill trips. He would travel thousands of miles, often flying to a remote location, renting a car, and driving hundreds more. His destination? Not a victim, but a desolate patch of wilderness, a quiet, forgotten corner of America, where he would bury kill kits, caches containing weapons, zip ties, shovels, and sometimes even buckets of concrete. These sinister buried arsenals lay dormant for months, sometimes years, awaiting his return. This calculated forethought, this cold, patient preparation, was his signature. It allowed him to select victims purely at random, with no connection to him or his prior movements. He would stalk an area for days, sometimes weeks, observing, waiting, until the perfect, isolated opportunity presented itself. A lone individual, a secluded home, a moment of vulnerability. That was his cue. He struck swiftly, silently, leaving no trace of his presence before melting back into the vast American landscape. Consider the unsettling case of Bill and Lorraine Currier. In June 2011, this elderly couple, seemingly ordinary and living a quiet life in Essex, Vermont, simply vanished from their home. Their disappearance sent a tremor of fear through the tight-knit community. There were no signs of forced entry, no struggle, just an eerie, unsettling void where two lives had been. For months, their disappearance remained a baffling enigma, a true unknown. This was a classic Keys operation, precise, untraceable, and utterly random from the victim's perspective. He had flown into the area, driven to his pre-dug kill kit, then observed the couriers, choosing them simply because their home offered the isolation he craved. After the abduction, he murdered them and disposed of their bodies in an unknown location. Then there was the case of Samantha Koenig, his last known victim, whose tragic fate finally unraveled Keyes' terrifying reign. In the early hours of February 1st, 2012, Keyes, disguised in a ski mask, abducted 18-year-old Samantha from the coffee stand where she worked in Anchorage, Alaska. This act was bolder, more impulsive than his usual meticulously planned ambushes, perhaps a sign of growing recklessness or simply a convenient target of opportunity. He transported her across frozen Alaska, holding her for weeks, sexually assaulting her, and eventually killing her. In a chilling display of his puppet master control, he then returned to the coffee stand, left a ransom note demanding money, and even sent text messages from her phone, posing as Samantha, fabricating a story about her needing to leave town. He even dismembered her body and disposed of it in a frozen lake, further demonstrating his grotesque efficiency. What investigators soon discovered was the chilling breadth of his travels. Keyes would fly to different states, commit his heinous acts, then fly back to Alaska, sometimes within days, carrying on with his seemingly normal life. He used burner phones, cash, and meticulously planned routes to avoid any digital or physical trail. He was a ghost, a phantom existing just beneath the surface of everyday life, a true shadow in the vast expanse of the American landscape. His capture came not from a single slip-up in his elaborate planning, but from his growing recklessness with Samantha Koenig's case. He used her debit card in Arizona, a financial trail that eventually led law enforcement to him. When finally apprehended, Keyes exhibited a disturbing composure. There was no panic, no frantic struggle, just an almost detached acceptance. What followed was a series of chilling interrogations, perhaps the most unnerving aspect of his monstrous story. Keyes, initially reluctant, began to reveal fragments of his crimes. He enjoyed the control, the cat-and-mouse game with the FBI. He spoke calmly, almost clinically, about his victims, sometimes referring to them simply as variables. He revealed that he had murdered at least 11 people, though he hinted at more, a number that terrorized investigators, knowing they might never discover the full extent of his depravity. He detailed his cross-country murders, the buried kill kits, the random selection of targets, boasting about his ability to stay hidden, his signatureless crimes. He relished the psychological manipulation, the control he wielded over the very agents trying to understand him. Keyes meticulously kept track of his victims, even having a spreadsheet with names and locations, but he also destroyed evidence, frustrating investigators who desperately tried to match his chilling confessions to cold cases across the country. His memory was phenomenal, yet he withheld just enough, enjoying the power he held over the information. The fear wasn't just in his past actions, but in the knowledge that he could, if he chose, walk free and continue his reign of terror. He admitted to killing 4 people in Washington State, 2 in Vermont, 1 in New York, and 3 in other unknown locations, besides Samantha Koenig in Alaska. The details were sparse, tantalizingly out of reach, lost in the icy depths of his malevolent mind. Israel Keyes was the ultimate puppet master, pulling the strings of death from afar, orchestrating suffering with chilling precision. He wasn't confined to a single hunting ground or a specific demographic. His domain was anywhere he chose to operate. His victims, anyone he happened to cross paths with. He stripped away the comfort of patterns, the illusion of safety based on location or demographic. His crimes were the embodiment of true random horror. His story ended abruptly in December 2012 while awaiting trial. Israel Keyes, ever the controller, took his own life in his jail cell. With his death, the remaining secrets of his victims and the full scope of his horrific acts were buried with him. A final, chilling act of control over the narrative of his own terrifying legacy. It left law enforcement with countless unanswered questions and a haunting understanding of a new, more elusive breed of serial killer. And so we conclude another unsettling chapter from the archives of Whispers from the Dark. The chilling legacy of Israel Keyes, the Phantom Predator, leaves us to ponder. What true horrors lurk in the shadows, waiting for an invitation? If you found yourself captivated by this episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review Whispers from the Dark on Apple Podcasts. Your support helps us to continue unearthing these forgotten tales and bringing the chilling truth to light. Share this episode with a friend who appreciates a good historical horror story, and let the whispers spread. You can also find more content and connect with us on our social media platforms. Until next time, keep your lights on, your senses sharp, and remember, some whispers should never be ignored.